stand by. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Using BPM to Achieve Process Integrity on System Z. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how your business process management strategy can benefit by including IBM tools such as WebSphere Process Server for ZOS, WebSphere Business Modeler, WebSphere Business Monitor, and WebSphere Integration Developer. The speaker for today's teleconference is Mike Benson, Executive IT Architect, System Z Software Sales, IBM Americas. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to Mr. Benson. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks. Today, as was mentioned, we're going to be talking about process integrity and business process management and how those two relate. So I'm going to jump right into the session, and we have a lot of charts to cover. I want to make sure I get through everything. So the first couple of charts are standard trademarks and disclaimer, and I'll skip right over those, but you have those with you. So the questions we're going to talk about today, starting in slide four, are what is process integrity? We'll spend quite a bit of time looking at some charts that discuss that, discuss the business issues around that. And then we'll talk about business process management, some of the tools that IBM provides in that area, and relate those two together, how business process management relates and affects process integrity. And while it's not here on the key questions, we'll end up the session today with some discussion about System Z and how it plays a crucial role in business process management within IBM. So moving on, we're going to start with process integrity, and we'll skip forward to chart number six. You know, there's been changes going on in the world, and I'm sure most of you are aware of it. What we used to think of as multinational businesses have now really become globally integrated enterprises. And the difference is, in a multinational business, the companies can span borders, can do business in other countries, whereas in a globally integrated enterprise, these same companies may have a single business process that spans borders. So I may have a step within a business process that is executed in one country and then the very next step executed in a different country. So this has to do with a single business process that then goes across multinational borders. So that's really what we talk about. And as that happens, more and more, we need this concept of process integrity. So let's move on to chart seven. As these businesses become globally integrated, their processes have to remain consistent. It's important that they do that. If not, there's a huge potential for loss of revenue. And I list some of these areas where revenue can be lost: damage to your brand, decreased customer satisfaction, loyalty, increased competition. All of this really affects the bottom line, affects your revenue. So IT systems have to be designed to significantly reduce the potential of failure of these critical business processes. Let's go on to chart eight. So as the SOA becomes more advanced, you have more services, more information, more users, and it's imperative that robust end-to-end integration occurs so that you can maintain the consistency among all of those elements. As we'll see later in this presentation, IBM middleware helps support this and enables this to maintain the integration and consistency. Going on to chart 10, to truly take advantage of business flexibility enabled by SOA, you really need to be able to run the critical business processes with reliability, consistency, scalability, and predictability. And it has to really rival those of what we've seen in the past with tightly coupled systems. In the past, you know, typically a lot of this is run on mainframe systems, and these have been very tightly coupled. And it really provides that highest levels of reliability and scalability. But as our processes become more and more globally integrated, we don't always have the luxury of saying that everything runs on System Z. We'd like to, but business processes can span various platforms. They can span countries, as we talked about with the globally integrated enterprise. And as they do that, these systems become more loosely coupled. In fact, that's one of the SOA principles, is loosely coupling. But the thing is, we need the same level of process integrity. We need that reliability, consistency, scalability at the same degree as we had with tightly coupled systems. You know, IBM has had a history of providing highly reliable and scalable systems. And those are the same principles we're applying to our SOA portfolio. You can see in this chart that we talk about connectivity and process automation. So, for instance, our ESB products provide the capability of reliably connecting to critical services. you don't have to worry about being unable to reach those services. You know that you can always connect to those. Similarly, with process automation functions, they provide consistency for automatically controlling the flow of services, and this helps you to become more predictable. We'll cover each of these a little bit more in the BPM section of the presentation. Moving on now to page 9. So here we are with the definition of process integrity. We've kind of set the stage here in talking about the importance or the business need or the issues that you're faced with. And now here's what process integrity is. It's the ability to conduct reliable business activity in a secure, scalable SOA environment with seamless synchronization between services, human tasks, and information. It's really comprised of three different things that we see here. One is interaction integrity, and that's really about providing users with the right access to information and content. The users have roles, being able to manage the user interface based upon a role and what they're allowed to do and what they're allowed to see. Also making sure that the users have the right level of information when they need it. Next is the information integrity. This really focuses on consistency of information. Many of our customers have information that resides in lots of different places, and yet you need a consistent view of that information. You can't have multiple views so that if a customer goes one place, they see different information than if they go to a different place. So that information integrity is critical as well. And then lastly, we have transaction integrity, and that's really about executing both short-running and long-running transactions with confidence. You know, short-running transactions often require full-scale transactional properties. Those are things like the asset properties that we all know about. Long-running transactions, or what I call business transactions, can be much longer, and you don't hold locks. You don't have that kind of commit scope that you'd normally have in a short-running transaction. So they still need to be able to maintain their integrity, and that's where things like compensation come into play, where you have to undo activities or steps within a business process. We'll focus most of our time today on the transactional integrity due to some of the time constraints that we have. Going on to chart 11, compensation and recovery have to be built into every level of your SOA environment. If you can't recover when outages occur, you can't provide reliable execution. These outages can be due to, you know, the unavailability of the data, or maybe you can't access one of your business partners. There's some, you know, issues with that. Sometimes there are business reasons for compensation activities to reverse a step within a process. You may, at a subsequent step within the business process, realize that you can't complete it, so you have to undo what you've done up until that point. The recovery issues can be easier if all the data and applications reside on a System Z server, since we have a strong history of providing those levels of integrity. But as your SOA gets more advanced, you can't always choose where to deploy all those individual services, as we already mentioned. Moving on to page 12, let's look at an example here of a globally integrated supply chain. On the left, we have what happens without process integrity. On the right, we can look and see what happens with process integrity. So here, a distributor of some specialty merchandise, for instance, sources products from all over the world, markets them to various retailers. So he's got a number of suppliers on the right. He's got retailers on the left. And basically, the retailers are competing harder for customers. As a result, they need better service from their distributors. Cycle times have to get shorter. The availability of merchandise is increasingly important to those retailers. They need really to be able to reduce the time that they spend placing and updating and canceling orders. So if you look at the side without process integrity, information doesn't flow accurately from supplier to retailer. In other words, I don't always have the capability of supplying the right level of information when I need it to that retailer. The retailer can get conflicting information, can get information that's out of date, and it's unreliable. Similarly, transactions can't be reliably synchronized end-to-end. And what that can result in is that a retailer might order a particular part or a particular piece of merchandise and not get that merchandise fulfilled and may go out and order it again because they don't really know whether that was fulfilled or not or whether that transaction was accepted. On the other hand, with process integrity, information is kept up to date. Order placement is flexible and accurate. The retailers know exactly what they've ordered. They know exactly what they can get to, what's in stock. And similarly, the ability to synchronize those transactions across the supply chain results in a higher rate of correctly fulfilled orders. So, you know, it's all about making sure that you have the data that's accurate when you need it, and so that you can make those wise decisions like that. Moving on again to page 13. So here we talk a little bit about what's new in process integrity. We've made a bunch of SOA announcements that have to do with process integrity, and they go from, you know, the interaction integrity that we talked about here. There's some announcements in the Lotus Forms area to facilitate the interaction. We also have some information integrity announcements with the IBM Information Server, and that's really helping keep your information accurate and up-to-date, as we already mentioned. And then we have qualities of service, which I'll get to transaction in a minute, but the qualities of service kind of have to surround all of the process integrity, and we've made some recent announcements in WebSphere XD in that area in terms of things like intelligent workload management. Then moving on into the transaction integrity, there are really a couple of areas here that I wanted to focus on a little bit. One is our process server. We'll get into a lot more detail in the business process management part of this, but our process server really is what we call the engine of our process management, of our business process management. And it's really controlling the flow of the business processes. So we've made some new announcements in that area. And then we have three different ESB offerings from IBM. Those are the WebSphere Message Broker, the WebSphere ESB, and the Data Power Integration Appliance, the XI50. So in each of these areas, we've made significant announcements that really address process integrity as we're moving forward with SOA. Let's move on to page 14. So transaction integrity, which is where we want to spend most of the time here, delivers robust, consistent, and reliable updates to resources. It ensures updates are performed together, not left in an incomplete state. So here we talk about this transaction integrity in terms of atomic transactions and business transactions. The atomic transactions are those single unit of work, short-lived. You know, these are the kinds of transactions that we've normally thought about over the years. Business transactions are more of the long-running, similar to a business process here. It's more of a long-running, lasting seconds or months, or, you know, it can be years, actually, that a business transaction can be in flight. And with business transactions, then, again, you need a different way of rolling back updates that you've made, and that's where we get into compensation. So IBM offers products that span all the way from atomic transactions up through business transactions. So for atomic transactions, we talk about things like our WebSphere application server, which is our J2EE server, and that has standard transactional capabilities, all the ACID properties it can apply. Similarly, our KIX transaction server, which has been around for many, many years, offers this atomic transaction capability. In the area of business transactions, we have things like our process server and our ESBs. In these cases, the flow of the business transaction is controlled by these products, and as you go through that transaction, you can assess each step and decide whether you want to continue to move forward or whether you want to roll back through some kind of a compensation activity. Moving on to page 15 then, on top of requiring that the transactions execute with integrity, businesses also need to have very high qualities of service. And we mentioned this before with our WebSphere XD, but we have many other products that contribute to that high qualities of service. And what we mean by that is that there has to be high availability, high scalability. You have to be able to get high throughput, performance. If you have somebody waiting for a response, you have to have that kind of performance that they're not having to wait too long. So we have a list of products here, and it really starts at the top here with the IBM Systems E servers. And, you know, Systems E servers are really known for the high levels of availability and scalability in the industry. They scale both vertically and horizontally to meet practically any requirements that you might have. In addition, we provide world-class workload management capabilities through our workload manager. It really gives you the capability of running disparate workloads in a system and still achieve the kind of performance that you expect. In addition to that, we mentioned WebSphere XD, which can sit outside of the application server and actually direct work based upon workload management algorithms that are supplied to it. So process server as well, you know, allows you high qualities of service and availability. So all of those products really contribute to the qualities of service and are really what's fundamental here in trying to maintain process integrity. Let's move on to page 16. So how does System Z help? We mentioned this before, but just the high level of availability in a parallel cisplex, we've achieved 99.999% availability, which is unmatched in the industry. In addition, we have things like our geographically dispersed parallel cisplex. So not only can you get the high level of availability within a data center, but you can get very high levels of availability across geographically dispersed data centers. And that's really great, you know, when you look at things like your high availability and disaster recovery. We also have, even at the hardware and software component level, we have recovery built in. You know, some of the System Z hardware capabilities really are just matched by none in terms of its ability to recover from failures, even to the point where we have spare CPUs that are just waiting to take over if there's a failure of a CPU. And so, you know, with things like dynamic workload balancing and logical partitions, we get those high levels of availability. Moving on to page 17, standards are a key here when we're talking about SOA. One of the foundational premises of SOA is adherence to broadly adopted industry standards. And so many of these SOA standards have been adopted through various organizations. IBM is a key leader in all of these organizations. You can see some of them on the chart. And some of these standards here relate to process integrity, both transaction, interaction, information, and integrity. We'll continue to be a leader in the standards areas as we move forward. On to page 18, standards have to be implemented robustly. It's one thing just to define a standard, but unless these things are implemented robustly, you really are not going to achieve the level of process integrity that you're expecting. So, you know, whether it's at the core J2E environment that we have with the WebSphere application server, whether it's with our world-class messaging WebSphere MQ infrastructure, all of these SOA products that IBM offers provide robust implementations of these standards. Moving on to page 19, I give an example here of process integrity at China Mobile. A particular subsidiary of China Mobile is Shaanxi Mobile, and that offers wireless communication services to more than 8 million subscribers. What they've done here is, you know, they were using three independent systems that contain customer information. And so they didn't have the kind of integrity that they were looking for. You know, over the years, they developed these things independently, and I'm sure many of you can relate to that where you have independent silos that have been developed. In this case, it really was in support of customer relationship management. So it's critical here that they're touching customer information, and customers will call up, and it's critical that they have consistent information with integrity. So the solution here was really an end-to-end connectivity with an enterprise service bus that understands where the data is located and can access the data reliably and accurately with levels of integrity. So they reduced their problem resolution from several days to less than an hour. So, I mean, that's really where it all comes down to here, again, is you've got business goals of trying to improve revenue and decrease costs, and the business benefits of process integrity can show very clearly when you have customers like this that are reducing resolution time from 2 days to less than an hour. And there's a whole bunch of offerings that IBM has that Shaanxi Mobile is using, including our Business Integration Server Foundation, Process Server, our Message Broker. So moving on again to page 20, in summary, you know, process integrity ensures reliable execution. You know, these business processes are critical, and if you don't know whether they're executing, especially as you're going global here, your business can be in jeopardy. So process integrity then is composed of these three main areas: transaction, interaction, and information integrity. Recovery and compensation are critical. Recovery when failures occur, compensation when a business process decides that it has to roll back. And then lastly, qualities of service and security are crucial as well. If you can't scale, if you don't have high availability, if you don't have the kind of performance that you require, you will have problems with your customer base. You'll have problems with lost revenue. So let's move on to business process management. In this area, again, we're going to skip over the title chart here and go right to page 22. You know, the business landscape's changing. There's a global CEO study that's going to be published coming up in a couple of months, and over 1,000 CEOs were part of the study. And if you look at this and see what the key business drivers are, you can see they're really looking to extend the ability to collaborate. And, you know, this is what we talked about with a globally integrated enterprise, where these businesses have to be able to work across borders and have business processes and collaborations that occur across borders. In addition, you know, they have to be able to innovate with business models, leverage their information, and have agile business processes. And one of the things we're going to talk about is these agile business processes is the ability to flexibly change your business based on feedback and based on information that you glean from monitoring the way your business processes run. So, you know, one of the points here, 87% expect fundamental change in the next 2 years. So it's a changing world, and IBM's business process management that we're going to talk about really helps them manage that change. So the next chart, 23, is just some more information here, and this is from an IT view, IT management technology priorities. And again, one of the top management priorities is aligning IT with business goals. And when you think about it, that's really one of the strong premises of SOA as well, is that you're combining both your IT infrastructure with your business view. So when we talk about things like business services in SOA, we're really talking about it from a business view, even though under the covers we're tying that to our IT infrastructure and IT resources. So you're really preparing for the future here by making it easy to manage the change to your IT by aligning those business goals with the IT. Let's move on to page 24. Across the top here, we have many of the goals and objectives that are driving businesses. So things like innovation, growth, reducing costs, gaining market share, those are all business objectives that we hear all the time from our customers. Along the bottom, we have the IT resources and assets that, in this case, I have an insurance company, but you know, you can put in whatever resources and assets your business has. But a lot of these are systems that are built as silos, and they don't communicate with each other. And so how can I take advantage of those existing systems and try to meet my business objectives? Those are really the fundamental questions that are being asked. And these are all classic questions that our business process management enabled by SOA can answer. On page 25, then, the challenge, you know, while the business objectives are clear, these disparate legacy systems really pose challenges to making rapid changes. You know, as the business changes, you've got to be fleet here. You've got to be agile. And because these things have been built up over the years, and in many cases they're very difficult to understand and very difficult to make changes to, they become so brittle that it becomes very expensive to try to make those changes to try to line up and meet your business objectives. In some cases, process logic, for instance, is hard-coded right inside the application. That makes changing the process very difficult. You have to go in and change the application to make sure that you're not breaking some other part of the application. It has to be tested thoroughly. You know, most IT budgets are spent on just maintaining what you already have. I've read studies that upwards of 70 or 75% of budgets are just maintaining what you have, much less trying to go meet these business objectives of additional growth and new markets and innovation. On page 26, then, we have BPM enabled by SOA. This is really how we're trying to help address these challenges. And so we have the concept of business processes, and, you know, the business process logic is being pulled out of the applications so that the applications can really do the strict application logic or business logic that you need. But the process, you want that to come out of those applications and be represented externally so I can make changes to the business process without having to make a change to the application. So as I pull that information out, the rate of change to a business process is probably going to be a lot greater than the rate of change to a single application. Those applications should really have standard functions that are being provided. And what I want to do at a business process level is change when I invoke those functions, how I invoke them, how they relate, so I pull that out of the application. The service components, then, are really how the applications are invoked with well-defined interfaces. So now I might have multiple legacy claims databases or, you know, multiple systems along the bottom. I don't have to know at the business process level how I access each one of those systems. I put service components around those, and so I access them in standard ways. So this is really what's helping us become more agile and flexible with our business processes. So we've kind of gone around and around here a little bit talking about business process management and not really defined it yet. So on page 27, we define business process management. and that is the discipline combining business expertise and technology capabilities to accelerate process improvement and facilitate business innovation. So on the one hand, I have business expertise, and that's really the knowledge about your specific business. It can be embedded in application silos, like we mentioned before, or it could be in somebody's head. You might have somebody, a business analyst or somebody that knows the business very well and knows that process level, but it's really not been encoded anywhere. On the other hand, technology is a set of enablers that really allows you to represent business expertise in a way that's flexible and easy to use. So with technology, I have business services, I have rules, I have, you know, databases, I have ways of looking at how the business is running. All that technology that I want to use, I want to combine with the business expertise to get high levels of process improvements and business innovation. So let's move on here to page 28. So here are some examples of how business process management delivers some value. And we'll start off with IBM. We use this internally ourselves in our customer order analysis and tracking system. What we've been able to do here by modeling and analyzing the new processes is we've really been able to reduce the amount of time and the cost of making changes to those processes. And again, here I talk about 25%. We reduced that time and cost by 25%. That's real money. That's a savings. That's a huge savings that is realized by just implementing business process management technologies. Also, we have Danske Bank. They are really automating many of their critical business processes that's affecting more than 10,000 of their employees. And by doing this kind of automation, where they have fewer people that have to physically handle paper and physically manage the steps within that business process, they're realizing $2 million savings in the first year and increasing their productivity. And then lastly, I mentioned the Principal Residential Mortgage or Principal Financial Group. And their CIO, a guy named John Levels, uses a modeling tool from IBM that has allowed the company to reduce, for example, a 14-step loan process to just 2 steps. I don't think the CIO is actually doing that for him, but this was a quote from him, that they reduced this from 14-step loan process to just 2 steps. And that's huge, you know, in this competitive market where they have to keep ahead of their competition. When they can reduce something by that much, it allows them to be much more efficient. And you can see they've gained 34% gain in efficiency and that reduced the mortgage processing time by 53%. So they have a competitive advantage over the competition by processing these mortgages more quickly. And again, their annual estimated savings is about $4 million. Going on to chart 29, so what can BPM do for you? Well, many of you are in different kinds of environments. I don't know exactly what your particular business environment is, but here are just some things that maybe you can think about. You can, you know, help control your environment, create new business value, increase operational efficiency. Maybe you want to, you know, finally encode some of those business processes that you have not up until this point done. And what that allows you to do then is start analyzing and looking for ways to make them more efficient. Again, you know, the bottom line here is you're trying to increase your agility and flexibility so that you can stay on top of the competition. Page 30, then, one thing to note about our business process management suite is that it covers the full life cycle of business processes. So while you start with designing and modeling your business processes and maybe simulating things to make sure that you've got it right, eventually you get that into deployment where you're automating, you're actually running your business processes in an automated way. And as you do that, you want to monitor and analyze those and make sure that you're meeting your objectives, meeting your business goals. And if you're not, then you might want to propose some changes and go back and close the loop, go back and maybe make some design changes to the business process and some simulations, run some what-if simulations to see what if I change this particular part, would it make it more efficient? So the business process management suite covers really the entire life cycle of that process. In page 31, then, there's these three things that we've just alluded to. One is design, second one is automate, and the third is optimize. We'll cover each one of these three in more detail. First, you know, in order to manage change, you need to be able to model your current business processes. We've got tools and methodologies that help you do that. So we already saw, you know, IBM modeled and analyzed their existing business process and the customer order analysis and tracking system and really reduced the time and cost to make changes by 25%. So we'll go into a little bit more detail now on how we do that. So going on to page 32, there's lots of good reasons for modeling and analysis. We really want to, you know, model for several of these reasons, one being documentation. Sometimes it's good just to use the modeling tool that you can document what your current business process is. You know, the people that have it in their head won't always be around, so you really need to be able to get that documented somewhere. It helps newer people come on board. You can use that in training, and so that's a strong reason for doing it. In addition, you really need to be able to document the as-is environment so that you can justify making changes. So by modeling your business process, you can look at redesign and optimizing that business process. You can establish and track measurable metrics for performance. And then lastly, modeling for execution. By creating these models, you can actually move those into deployment and actually automate your business process. So that ability to change the business process allows you to react to changes in the market very flexibly and in an agile way. So, you know, really these are some of the business reasons for why you want to do modeling. We have one of the best modeling tools available from IBM on page 33 is our WebSphere Business Modeler. Principal Residential Mortgage used the WebSphere Business Modeler to help reduce that four-step loan process into just two steps. So this business modeler, you know, really allows you to graphically model what the business looks like. I don't have to have any kind of development expertise to use this. I don't have to be a Java coder. You know, I don't have to code in any language, actually. This is all done through a GUI interface, and it really has the capability here of handing off these business models to other tools for deployment. And we'll talk a little bit about those in a little while here, but this business modeler is just a really powerful way of modeling what that business looks like. It allows you to simulate changes to the business model to see how that might affect your business process as you move forward. Moving on to page 34, as we go from design to automate now, you need to automate your business process with the BPM tools that have process integrity, as we already mentioned. We know that Danske Bank automated their business processes using the BPM tools and saved a lot of money, $2 million in the first year. So let's move on here to page 35. We'll talk about this in more detail. Here's another example before we go on. Crowley Maritime, they're a global provider of maritime services. And they really needed to innovate to streamline their costs and increase their profits. And so they did this with our System Z, but they also are using our process server and our message broker in order to do that. So what they've realized by being able to automate is $15,000 savings per integration interface. So each one of the interfaces that they have within their business process, the steps that integrate into specific services, they're saving $15,000 for each one of those. And then a 50% reduction in application delivery time and cost. As they make changes to applications, add new applications, they're 50% more effective in terms of time and cost to deliver those. So, you know, moving on to chart 36, by moving from modeling to actual deployment, you really want to try to wire these together. Now, this is a tool that we have called the WebSphere Integration Developer. The business process itself is really independent of the IT technology under the covers of the IT services or business services. So what I do in a business process is I'm defining the steps or the flows within that business process, and I need a way then to attach a step within the business process to a particular application where I get that particular step executed. And I do that with our WebSphere Integration Developer. It really simplifies being able to hand off between business and IT. So I can allow my business person, my business analyst, to use the business modeler to represent the business process, and then I go with the WebSphere Integration Developer to actually wire that business process to the applications that reside underneath. So this is Eclipse-based. Most of our tooling is Eclipse-based, so it's really IBM's strategic direction here. And so if your personnel are used to Eclipse-based tools or development tools or other kinds of tools that are Eclipse-based, this is very, very easy to learn to use. And again, the user of this tool doesn't have to be an application developer. We like to think of this person as an integration developer, someone who knows how to connect or integrate those process steps with applications. just a quote there from Dow Chemical. They looked at several vendors in the space and selected IBM's tooling to help them shorten their application development time. They were able to reuse a lot of their applications within the business processes. So going on then to page 37, here we look at our enterprise service bus. And as we mentioned before, loose coupling of business processes to service applications is an essential point to enable process integrity in a globally integrated enterprise. So our ESP products allows you to do that. They give you flexibility, help you to be nimble when process changes are needed. All of our ESBs support industry standard protocols such as JMS messaging, all the web services protocols. You know, this is a very powerful set of tools that we offer. I list WebSphere ESB. We also have WebSphere Message Broker and our Data Power integration appliance as well. So those are our three ESB offerings. The WebSphere ESB is based upon our WebSphere application server, so it already has a robust, scalable infrastructure that allows it to integrate very closely with other Java applications as well as the WebSphere process server, which provides more advanced BPM capabilities. Moving on to chart 38. So with our WebSphere adapters, really, you know, in many cases, it's advantageous to integrate more closely with existing applications and data. You may want to go right from your enterprise service bus to an adapter that can access some of these packaged applications or some of the protocols that really provide a better on-ramp to our ESB. And so we do that with the adapters, and we have a very robust set of adapters that we offer as a part of our BPM suite. And they really save you some of the development for connecting to some of these kinds of applications and protocols. And really, that's what we're trying to get at with the adapters, is we're trying to save you the time of having to code that yourself or having to build those kinds of connectors into those environments yourself. Moving on then to page 39, this is where we introduce our process server. As I mentioned before, the process server, we like to think of this as the engine of business process management. So this is where we have robust execution of business processes. There are lots of different aspects of process integration that are supported here. Process flows, which is kind of what we normally think of with workflow, but we also support business rules and human steps, where I've got user interaction, and as well, we support a state machine representation of business processes. And we'll cover each one of these in a little bit more detail. But really, you know, the bottom line with Process Server is it's really giving you the capability of late binding to services. So what you do with our Process Server is it's actually controlling the flow at the time where you need to access a particular service, then it does binding to those particular business services. So we'll talk about these in more detail in the charts ahead. Moving on then to page 40, you can kind of see a component architecture view of our WebSphere Process Server. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here on the lower levels other than to say that the SOA core, well, all of this is based on WebSphere application server, but the SOA core here, there's three things to talk about. One is the common event infrastructure, and this is really is based upon the common business event standard being standardized through OASIS. In addition, we have the service component architecture, and we have business objects, which are based upon the service data objects, which are both, again, standards that are going through the standards bodies. So this allows me to componentize every step within a business process. So, again, what I'm doing here is loosely coupling from the business process representation into individual steps or applications that get invoked because I wrap those in this SOA core service component architecture. Just above that, I have several of the supporting services that I need. Some of these are provided with our ESB. Some are built within Process Server. But what I wanted to do is spend more time on the top layer and go through each one of these in more detail. So on page 41, we have business process definitions. These are BPEL-based, you know, based on version 2.0. And with business processes, again, think of this like a workflow where I actually have a directed graph and I flow through the business process. You know, there's transactional characteristics and capabilities across steps within these business processes. I have the capability of compensating if they're long-running business processes or what we call business transactions. And the implementation details, really, of the underlying service remain hidden to the navigation engine through the use of the service component architecture. In the next chart, then, page 42, in addition, I have this capability of defining human tasks as service components. It may be that within the business process, I need some person to look at some data and make a decision. I can define that human interface as a service component using the service component architecture. And so these services can actually kick off processes. They can be a step within the process. I can have a completely human-oriented process where I just go from human to human in an interaction kind of method as a part of that business process. So I mentioned here Lotus Forms are embedded within the business model, or I can use Lotus Forms as a way to get some of these interactions. It doesn't have to be. There's other things like our portal server that allows you to have human interaction with the process server as well. Then in page 43, we talk about business rules. There are a couple of different ways that you can do business rules. You can have the if-then rule statements in your rule set. It really allows you, again, to make changes to these business rules without having to code applications. So I can pull that kind of stuff out of the application, put it into business rules, and it gives me more flexibility. I could also have a decision table, which is a rule set that's basically in tabular format. And again, I can make changes to these very quickly. So business rules are a very important part of WebSphere Process Server, and these are represented as service components as well. And then on page 44, I have the capability of defining state machines within a business process. So if I want to define my business process in terms of steady states and then the actual changing of states, I can do that. So, for instance, in the example we have here is, you know, we have a university that may have courses, and the courses can be either open for enrollment or full. So those are states within that state machine. And then I define what the transitions are. So when the amount of attendees reaches a maximum, I have a transition from open enrollment to full. So those are the kinds of ways that I define state machines, where I define the state and I define those transitions between those valid states. And, you know, based upon what the state is, events can be handled in different ways. So an event being, you know, I want to enroll in a particular class, I may handle that differently based upon whether the class is open for enrollment or whether it's full. Moving on to page 45, when I pull this all together, the whole idea here is the huge benefits of using these BPM tools is that you assemble a process. You don't have to code the process. So in this case, this load process, I have to get customer information. That might go out to a CICS system. I might have some human tasks where I've got to have somebody look at something and make a decision. I've got credit rating where I've got to go out to another application and maybe at some other company that does that for you. And then I've got approval, which could be implemented as a state machine. So I can put all of this together, again, not having to code things, you know, in terms of the business process. I'm just wiring these steps within the business process to real IT technology. So let's go on here to page 46 and talk about Optimize. This is the last of these three critical success factors, and I'm going to try to move ahead kind of quickly here to make sure that we get finished. In page 47, we have our WebSphere Business Monitor. Now, you know, in terms of optimizing, you have to kind of know what's going on in order to look and see how I can optimize something. So I've got to be able to monitor. I've got to be able to know, am I meeting my performance indicators? Are there events occurring that prevent me from meeting those performance goals? So I need some kind of dashboard that really helps me understand when I've got problems. I need triggers and alerts that help me, you know, realize when I have to take some kind of appropriate action. So what I have with our business process monitor is the ability to visibly look within the processes and understand, am I meeting the metrics that I've defined for those business processes? And by the way, you can define those with business modeler. You can define metrics at the business modeler perspective when I'm actually defining the business process and then monitor them here with our business monitor. So it really gives me the capability of knowing what's going on. I can get reports and analyses, and the whole idea here is that I understand and can then optimize. I can go back and say, well, if I make a change to my business process, I can be more efficient, more cost-effective. Moving on to page 48, you know, IBM is unmatched in terms of our breadth of BPM software. There are other companies that offer parts of this, offer bits and pieces or little niche pieces of this, but IBM really offers the entire breadth of BPM. So you can see some of the numbers here. You know, we're number one in terms of our BPM market share. And, you know, just to go through a little bit on the left, the depth of BPM expertise, we have over 1,000 BPM consultant specialists within IBM. There's over 1,700 system integrator and reseller partners, 4,000 ISV partners. You know, this number kind of blew me away. Over 10,000 of our global business services and global technology services practitioners, those are the IBM services arms that can help you actually do this. So if you feel like this is a daunting task for you, you can enlist IBM's help to actually perform the work. And in the breadth of BPM software, we talked about a lot of this already. We have best-in-class tools, integration tools like our WebSphere integration developer. We have adapters. We have high-performance and scalable process orchestration with our process server, activity monitoring with our business monitor. I mean, all of these things make up part of that BPM software suite that is just unmatched in terms of breadth. Going on then to page 49, so how can you get started? Well, you know, you can explore through things like BPM workshops that we offer at your facility to try to understand, you know, how this might work with your particular environment. We also have business value assessments to help you build a business case for doing BPM within your organization. In addition, we have lots of training. You can attend, you know, local industry or technology events that we offer in terms of BPM, but you can also go to some of the demos and white papers and attend classes. So now let's spend just a couple of minutes moving on here to System Z and talk about how System Z is the best place to deploy all this stuff. Page 51, you can see, you know, this is what System Z provides, and these are the things that we talked about a lot already with process integrity, things like rock-solid security and privacy, business resiliency, scalability. You know, all of this stuff really is what's built within our System Z servers. And so it really is the best place to be able to manage your BPM suite. Think of it like this, you know, the BPM, your business process, is really the brains of your business. And the brains of your business have to run on the highest levels of availability. And so System Z provides that. You know, you don't want the brains of your business to go down, because even though maybe specific applications or services are still available, I can't get to them because I don't know what's the next step I have to take within that business process. So let's move to 52. You know, as I mentioned earlier, one of the business objectives of most organizations is to lower costs. And there's many ways to do this, but System Z brings some unique advantages here. You know, the first aspect of cost to examine is the cost of managing the server farm. Lots of our customers are deploying things in distributed environments, and the server farms are growing and growing. Even since the mid-90s, the install base you can see here of server footprints is steadily rising. We're up, you know, 35, 40 million of these in this year alone. So along with that comes the additional costs, and we split up the cost here in terms of server spending, people cost in the blue, and then in the green we have power and cooling costs. And as we move forward, the people costs and the power and cooling costs are growing, whereas the new server spending is staying relatively flat. So you can see that people cost growing at about a 45% rate through 2004. That's really a big expense, and if you're trying to stay on top of the competition, you're trying to be agile and flexible, you really want to, you know, look at ways you can cut that cost. So moving on then to page 53, you know, the System Z offers kind of a different story. As you increase the workload, we have been decreasing the number of staff able to manage that workload. So these administration costs have decreased over time while the install base of the platform continues to increase. So you can add additional work without incurring extra expense for these people. You know, one reason for this is that the vertical scalability of mainframes that we provide. So, you know, I mentioned we have major vertical and horizontal scalability, but as we've grown, and we've seen it even with the latest announcement with the Z10, the IBM System Z10 is another major, major increase in the vertical scalability per CPU. So, you know, here's a case where First National Bank of Omaha really was looking to hire more people and bring more boxes online, and they just took a step back and said, we can't keep doing this forever. And so that's when they started looking at trying to figure out a better way to do that, and they started looking at moving stuff off of distributed platforms back onto the mainframe. And they've been able to reduce their mainframe support by 20% because of being able to put more and more work on the mainframe so that their actual workload to support staff has been able to be decreased. All right, page 54 then. You know, here's some of the other aspects of System Z. You know, with many of your applications, much of your data already on the mainframe, it just kind of makes sense to make that the heart of your SOA. You have much higher levels of qualities of service. You can't minimize this idea of co-locating the workloads. If you have to jump across network boundaries for every access to data or every access to services within your business process, there's going to be delay, and you'll have response time affected and performance affected by that. So the bottom line is, you know, fewer parts. If I move as much of this as I can onto System Z, keep it close to the data, close to the applications, I don't rewrite all this stuff on other expensive platforms, I really have fewer parts, and that means higher reliability. That means simplified management, fewer people needed to manage those environments. And then on page 55, again, you know, the value of System Z in terms of SOA and business process management, process integrity, proximity, and I mentioned this before, co-locating things, but fewer physical components and network connections results in a less complex infrastructure. It's much easier to manage. Just the highest levels of availability, we mentioned this before with System Z at a 99.999% availability in a parallel sysplex. So all these are good reasons to have your SOA, have your business process management suite on System Z. So, page 56, why IBM? Well, basically, we're there from basic to advanced. You don't have to start with something advanced. We have a complete suite. Our BPM suite is not just a niche player. There's all the way through model and automate and optimize. We have tooling across that whole set. So really, there's a lot of customers already doing this with IBM. This is where we think that you ought to be working with your BPM suite as well. And so, you know, the last chart I have here is really talking about impact. It's a little advertisement for that. But with that, I'm going to hand it back to the operator.
Thank you, Mike. Now we'd like to ask that you participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will take your questions. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. Number 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1, not technical enough, press star 2, or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question number 3, have you started a BPM project? If yes, press star 1. If no, but plan too soon, press star 2. And if no, we don't have the plans to do so, press star 3. Question number 4, have you already modeled your current processes? If yes, press star 1. If no, but we plan too soon, press star 2. And if no, we don't have plans to do so, press star 3. And for our final question today, we hope you've enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And at this time, we'd like to take your questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Also, if you are on a speakerphone, please release the mute function so that your signal will reach us. Once again, that is star 1 for questions, and we'll pause for just a moment. And again, that is star 1 for any questions at this time. And Mr. Benson, there appear to be no questions. I'll turn the conference back to you for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate everyone attending, and I hope I didn't cover it too fast. I didn't realize how many charts I had there, and I had to get through them all, but I thank you for attending. And if you have more questions, feel free to contact IBM, and we are certainly, you know, willing to help you in your BPM projects. Thank you very much.
That concludes this IBM teleconference. Have a pleasant day.